Welcome back to Inside the Kentucky Derby, and we are well on our way to the first Saturday in May. Major stepping stones this past weekend on the road to the Derby, and a new defined favorite here for Kentucky Derby 150 as Fierceness absolutely ran away with the Florida Derby in authoritative manner. He is your favorite going into Kentucky Derby 150, and that's going to be a ledge I will be willing to die on here in the next month. I'm not joined by Darren Rogers here this morning. I'm joined by the one and only Travis Stone, track announcer, voice of the Kentucky Derby. Travis, how's it going 1 month out of Kentucky Derby 150?
Here we are, right in it now. Big races this past weekend. More big racing coming up this weekend. And we're here at Churchill. I pulled in. They've already got stuff going up for Derby. So it'll be here before we know it.
You got big shoes to fill in for Darren today. I said, you want to sit in Darren's spot here on the podcast? And you're like, oh, man. Big shoes to fill in for Darren as Darren is enjoying spring break with his son down in Myrtle Beach and his wife for the Eastern baseball road trip down there. But I got a feeling that you'll be able to talk Derby with me for however long we decide to talk Derby for today.
You let me know how long we got to go and I'm good.
Yeah, let's start with Florida. The elephant in the room is Fierceness, the new defined favorite in the Kentucky Derby after impressively winning the Florida Derby. He's trending on fixed odds right around probably 3.5 to 1 right now. We'll have pool 6 of the Kentucky Derby future wager that'll run Thursday through Saturday this week. So we'll see parimutuelly where he sort of sits before the Bluegrass Wood Memorial and Santa Anita Derby are run this weekend. But I mean, Travis, he's sort of been, impressive in both the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and now he bounced back from the Holy Bull. What were your just initial impressions on his Florida Derby effort on Saturday?
I expected him to run better than he did in the Holy Bull. I think nobody was really expecting that. I mean, I was just, he was running fine. He was doing well. And I was like, okay, this is the Fierceness we've known from some of his past big efforts, but then it just kept getting better and better. And next, he's in front by whatever he was, 10 lengths coming off the turn or so. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when you see horses win big margins like that, you worry about whether or not they've bottomed themselves out, but he did look like a horse that was just sort of out there doing his thing. He didn't, not like he really exerted himself early. Clearly the favorite now. It's good to see last year's champion find his form again. But speaking of form, I mean, when you look at his PPs, which Fierceness is going to show up, right?
Yeah,
that's the question.
And I think that, the big key that we've seen with him and, you're right in the point of, didn't really exert himself going into that first turn. They went 24 and change going into that opening quarter mile into the turn. And, the dynamics of Gulfstream, you want to be able to, save some ground with a couple of scratches in the field. He was able to break from gate number 8. So it wasn't too wide going into that turn. But he took it to that field. The thing is with the Kentucky Derby, he doesn't draw sort of that outside post again, where he's able to sort of be free ranging and loping close to the lead, which Fierceness will show up? Will he be able to handle adversity if he's drawn sort of mid pack or down towards the inside where he's not going to be the fastest horse going into that first turn?
Yeah. I mean, that's just going to be a risk. Anybody that's backing Fierceness is going to have to take between now and until we see the post position draw and sort of who else ends up in the race. It's just weird to me. I don't know if it's necessarily he needs to lope along in an easy lead as much as it is any sort of opposition, whether it be some gate trouble or some bouncing around coming out of there. I was willing to forgive the Champagne because that was just a quagmire. Right? It was a wet mm-hmm. track. Maybe he just didn't like it that day, but the Holy Bull really was a puzzler. So you really have to consider whether or not Fierceness is a horse that's going to be consistent day in and day out. I don't really buy into that whole every other race pattern. I think that's too convenient in racing. Mm-hmm. I think there's other circumstances that contribute to that. If I'm a gambling man on this Derby, I have a hard time taking a short price on a horse like this just because things rarely go perfectly in the Derby. And if he's a horse that needs things to go perfectly, well, that's not the right type of race you want to be in if you need to be that way. So, but there's no choice about it. He's lengths better than everybody else out there right now. So he's the horse to beat, but that's why this race is a great betting race because of all those other variables.
Yeah. And I think it was, like you mentioned with the Champion being back, I think the Derby needed that. I was, very excited to see, there's been several suspect horses that have been on this road to the Derby that, you know, on this podcast, Darren and I have been critical of their performances. Even though they've won races, we've sort of been critical of who they beat. And I guess you can maybe say that a little bit for the Florida Derby with, you know, who really did Fierceness beat. But the champion is back. He's back in form. He's, you know, rallying from his off start in the Holy Bull. You know, that suspect field that was behind him, Travis, I don't know if any of those horses could, you know, make legitimate excuses.
A couple of thoughts there. One is the way the point system works for the Derby. The premium is on later races. So the need to get points early has been diminished with the advent of the point system, which means these guys, these trainers, these horsemen and owners or whatever are not keen on getting horses ramped up early on in their career. So a lot of the early season preps are horses that are either ahead of the game or not the real serious contenders are going to emerge as the trail progresses. So I think that's one of the considerations there. The other is there's a lot of preps. There's a lot of ways you can go. So it's a little unfair to assume that Fierceness is going to have to beat three or four of the best horses in every prep, just like the Arkansas Derby or the Bluegrass. I mean, there's, you can only have so many of the top tier horses in each of these preps. So I think that's another component in this and just makes the handicapping puzzle a little bit more challenging because you have to weed through that a little bit and understand that, yeah, he might have won by, you know, 12 plus lengths. Where does Catalytic fit, you know, amongst the ranks in this Derby field?
Right. Yeah, and Catalytic did round out the exact. He got 50 points. Grandmo the first earned 25. Conquest Warrior 15. Hades 10. Hades with a tough trip. Joe Orsino was not sort of happy with the circumstances of Hades' trip. He sits right now currently on the leaderboard in 19th with 30 points. And, you know, maybe they'll try and wheel back and, you know, get some points to qualify, the Florida bred son of Awesome Slough. So, you know, he did earn those early points in the Holy Bull, but, he's probably going to be, on the outside looking in if he does not run back either this upcoming weekend or next weekend in the Lexington. Speaking of suspect fields, Travis, as we put a bow on the Florida Derby, let's go to Dubai and talk the UAE Derby with Forever Young, shipping in after winning the Saudi Derby. He's been over in Dubai for several weeks and, very much, I think the whole country of Japan was looking forward to seeing him sort of improve off of that effort in the Saudi Derby. I've gotten so much interaction from, you know, people from Japan following this horse, coming into the Kentucky Derby after winning Saturday's UAE Derby early Saturday morning. Do you think Forever Young is legitimate after that race?
I want to say he's illegitimate. I mean, you know, he did win, and he won it well. Was not the best of trips. He was wide both turns. He was forwardly placed, a track that does seem to favor horses that want to be forwardly placed. I think my whole Japan take in terms of the Derby has not changed from last year. Remember last year, Dermasotagake was one of the hype horses coming in. There was a lot of wise guys around the interwebs wanting to pick him early and be the one that, you know, I was on that first Derby winner from Japan. It is only a matter of time before they win the Kentucky Derby. They've won all the other big races around the world, including races here domestically. So it's only a matter of time before they do. But that doesn't mean you have to just latch on to every single horse that comes from Japan as the horse you want to play. I felt like the UAE Derby, though it was a fine effort and though he ran well, visually, it didn't really do much for me. It felt like we watch races here every day. It just felt like they were not coming home particularly fast. It felt like there was not as much speed in that race as we'll see in some of these other races. And it just felt like maybe if you were to put a speed figure on it, and I'm sure there's some of the figure makers that do, it doesn't feel like it was going to be a particularly fast race. Mm-hmm. And I could also argue that when he barely ran down Bookham Dano, who's a nice horse, but sure. Bookham Dano is 50-1 in the Kentucky Derby, right? So
if not higher,
right? So like, I think you just have to put it into context. Again, they will do it someday. Mm-hmm. They will, as no two ways about it. It's just a matter of when, but that doesn't mean you have to latch on to these horses every, you know, I mean, there's people on the internet that just, they want to be the one. Hey, I picked the first winner from Japan.
Our colleague Darren Zocali said he's been on this horse since December. So there are clearly some horses that are some people that like to back this horse. I can't get over his effort in this race of, you know, just how hard he was being asked to sort of be up into the race, into that first turn. And maybe that's just the circumstances of the way this track plays over in Maidan, where you want to be closer. I did think he was traveling better than he did in Saudi. Yoshida Yohagi said that he added some sort of hood equipment to his head, so that way he might have been using that to help him out in the early stages of just traveling well into this race. But he just, I think he's a very nice horse. I don't want to take anything away from him. And he's, you know, been a mile and 3/16 in the UAE Derby. Circumstantially, he beat a Argentinian bred, technically 4-year-old, but 3-year-old over there, Autobahn, Panda Gate, a New York bred, just okay, winning the Gander Stakes. He earned 25 points. Mendelssohn Bay, he's sort of okay. And the Navy Steel rounded out the top five. So I think in terms of, you know, the Florida Derby field, if you're comparing apples to oranges, Florida Derby to the UAE Derby, I think the Florida Derby was lengths and tails above the field that he defeated over there. So, and he's going to have to do much better than what he did in the UAE Derby, in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. And with all the circumstances that they all have to face, the one point you made that I definitely agree with was he ran better in Saudi. He was sort of, hard to get going early. He looked listless, if you will. He was much sharper this past weekend. And so maybe the argument is that they're rounding him into form in the right sort of way, which would bode well for him. I have a hard time envisioning that he ever offers value if you're a gambler on the Derby.
He's going to take
half the price he should, in my opinion. Maybe not quite that much, but he's definitely going to be an underlay. Can win. I just feel like we're going to know when the right Japanese horse comes around. Mm-hmm. You can know. I mean, put his performance alongside of what Fierceness did. And I mean, Fierceness might've dusted him by 15 or 20. Right. Yeah. So I think that's what you have to sort of to gauge, but take nothing away from him. And of course, rooting for him. Want him to have a good time over here. And I'm sure the horse will run well. I just, from a gambling perspective, it's just not my cup of tea.
And you're right. They're close, right? You know, yeah. Dermis Odagake was very close to being, you know, in this top echelon competing with North American horses.
And even still, he made that big move on the far turn last year and then sort of flattened out and was never really heard of in the final quarter mile. So it's hard, yeah, you know, it's not easy.
It's the Derby is hard. The shipping plans tentatively for this horse for Forever Young. He's scheduled to leave Dubai on April the 10th. He will quarantine in Chicago and be there for, at least 42 hours until he passes the USDA quarantine, and then he will van down to Churchill Downs and be based over in the quarantine facility here at Churchill. So looking at maybe April 13th or 14th to see the first glimpses of Forever Young here in Kentucky, and then his countrymate, T.O. Password. Initially, the plan would be to fly over from Japan around April the 23rd. And so we'll see probably T.O. Password get over here just in time for the Kentucky Derby draw on April the 27th. And we won't see him until Derby week over here to go against his countrymate and 18 others in the Derby. But again, you know, take nothing away from the investments that Japan is making. And it's great to have them involved in the Road to the Kentucky Derby, both in the Japan Road to the Kentucky Derby series and competing in, you know, races like the UAE Derby. This horse is close, just at this stage. And you still have looming questions of the Bluegrass this upcoming weekend with Sierra Leone. You have Deterministic, who ran very well, who we'll see again, Just a Touch, Door Knock. So there's some horses that I think are just slightly ahead of Forever Young, even with his victory at this stage, that we're going to see this upcoming weekend, Travis.
Yeah, totally agree. He's probably going to be 8-9-1. He should be 20-25.
Right. Yeah. Let's talk Arkansas Derby, that rounded out the weekend's action, where Muth, who was ineligible to garner points on the Road to the Kentucky Derby, ended up defeating Timberlake, Mystic Dan, and others down there in Arkansas. And solid performance. You'll probably likely to see Muth in the Preakness, which could lead into that race for Bob Baffert. Just Steele was, I think, ran his best race to date, Travis, with finishing second to Muth. And he's just sort of the horse that just kept finding more in that stretch. I don't know if Muth was shortening because the distance hit him between the eyes, or Just Steele is improving, but it'll be great to see Wayne Lucas in Kentucky Derby 150 with Just Steele.
Yeah, I think Just Steele's just a hard trying horse. You know, is he going to set the world on fire with 15 length wins in the near future? Probably not, but he's a contender. He was right there this weekend. It was his best effort yet. He was against a track in his prior two starts a little bit, so I think that's why his form was slightly dirtied up coming into this spot. But now, you know, the story now is Lucas back in the Derby and a young upstart rider And Keith Asmussen, who's going to get his first Derby mount, having just started riding here in the last couple of years and really getting going in terms of his career. So that's good to see Lucas sticking with him because, you know, Wayne shows no loyalty to riders. He's fine bouncing around for good reason. You know, he's been successful. This was just a good effort and a horse that, you know, he reminds me of. He's sort of like maybe slightly better than or close to like West Saratoga. Just you can always count on some sort of effort. You know, maybe an overachieving type effort, a couple of clunkers here or there, not a big deal, but for the most part, just a horse that always shows up and, another contender, probably not a Derby winner. I'll never say never, but, certainly one you want to think about in terms of having an impact, maybe in the middle portions of the race. And I don't know, maybe he can round out a try or a super.
He, you know, even in the Rebel when he was, you know, so hopelessly, you know, beaten into that first turn when he was wide and got an awful trip, he was sort of even trying down the lane still after going wide on both of those turns. And so you're right. He is a trier. And Keith Asmussen, who is the son of Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, Wayne already named him to ride in the Kentucky Derby. So that'll be great to see for Just Steele, who's scheduled to come to Churchill Downs here in the next couple of days for Wayne. And Mystic Dan, who had the perfect trip, you know, two starts ago or
in the Southwest.
I keep wanting to say Smarty Jones for him, but in the Southwest, he ran fine. I just think maybe the Southwest was his Derby compared to, you know, the races in the future. I think he might've already peaked.
Yeah. He just rode that good rail. The rail was very good that day at Oaklawn back on Southwest Day. Plus you factor in the wet track and it just felt like a horse. It was a wet track and good path move up and was going to be hard to replicate and or duplicate that performance in that subsequent start. And he ran okay. You know, obviously, if it comes up wet Derby day, he'll get some attention because people love to see wet track efforts that are strong. To me, though, the reason he ran that big number, big effort was more so the rail. Sees a horse that's probably going to drop back off the pace, try and come with one run, going to need some pace and certainly, a live long shot, if you will, because you're not going to have to take 4-1 this time around. Mm-hmm. Right. You're going to get it many times that the way the rest of these preps shake out will cement what number we see, but it's definitely not gonna be 4-1. So if he's a horse you liked coming out of the Southwest and you can forgive what we saw this past weekend, he's certainly a live runner.
You know, it was disappointing with Timberlake, who won the Rebel and sort of looked like, you know, rising to, you know, tip shape of his 3-year-old campaign. This is second start off of the layoff and a break since his 2-year-old campaign. He looked like a horse that didn't want to go that far. I don't know if it was just, I don't think it was a bounce. I don't think it was a regression. It just almost looked like the distance hit him, you know, between the eyes.
Yeah. He's a weird one. He was pretty bad in the hopeful last year. And to me, that was the first sign of maybe this one is not sort of what we thought he might be after that big win at Ellis over the summer. When I went back and watched the Rebel handicapping for the Arkansas Derby, he won it fine, but you could just feel visually that this A, that wasn't that strong of a group, and B, that more distance wasn't going to be right up his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And I think that going a mile and an eighth, you sort of hope that he can get that extra 16th. He obviously did not. And whatever, he's fine. There's a lot of good, you know, Pat Day Mile, Woody Stevens, Alan Jerkins type races this year for a horse like Timberlake, who just is probably more of a one turn middle distance horse. And I have not seen whether or not they're going to press on to the Kentucky Derby. Nobody's hopeless in the Derby, but I would put him close to. I don't think like what is he going to have to do to bounce back off that? I mean, he's going to need some like wild pace and a perfect trip and just everything fall into his lap. I hope I see Timberlake in that Pat Day Mile. I think that's a much better spot for him.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, he is in the Derby field with 81 points. So if trainer Brad Cox and the connections of Windstar and Sienna Farm, who are obviously game, they like to run horses in the Derby. If they would sort of forge on, you're right. He could be a candidate for that Plastic Cup of a last place finisher. It's not going to be horses in my mind like West Saratoga and Just Steele, who will be long shots. It's a horse like Timberlake who just needs so many things to go right to even run a good race in the Derby with the circumstances that he will face. So it's just not going to be, you know, a horse for me. Pat Day Mile would be great. but it'll be tough to improve off of that Arkansas Derby. So that was the power three this weekend on the road to the Kentucky Derby. It really sort of set this field, leading into the first Saturday in May of some of the top contenders. You know, just a run through quickly of some of the top horses on the leaderboard. Of course, Fierceness has 136 points. He's in. Catching Freedom is in with 125 after winning the Louisiana Derby. Forever Young with 100 points. Endlessly, who won the Jeff Ruby Stakes. He is based here at Churchill Downs. He is training on the dirt track. He is in the field if they would want to run, or, you know, they've mentioned the American Turf. So we'll have to see what happens with the connections with Ammerman Racing, who has never started a horse in the Kentucky Derby, and trainer Michael McCarthy. Timberlake is in if they want to run. He's 81 points. Track Phantom, 70 points. He's here at Churchill Downs. West Saratoga shipped to Keeneland. He'll prepare for the Kentucky Derby there. For Larry Demerit, 67 points. Just Steele with 65. Honor Marie is here at Churchill Downs. He's got 65, is in. Dornock runs in the Bluegrass this weekend with 60. Domestic Product also going to run this weekend with 60 points. Sierra Leone with 55. They're all running this weekend. Catalytic, Deterministic, both with 50 points. Deterministic runs this weekend for Christoph Clement. Mystic Dan is sort of could be a bubble horse with 46 points for Kenny McPeak. And we've mentioned No More Time with 45 points. Probably after this weekend's races shape out, he could be on the outside looking in. There's obviously attrition going on there. Grand Moa the first, Common Defense, Hades, probably the first few horses on the outside looking in, of course, with TO Passwords. Japan Road of the Kentucky Derby invite as spot number 20 for the first Saturday in May. Is Travis really shaping up to be a fun derby?
I mean, Fierceness really kicked it into high gear. That was sort of, I think you and I texted about it. That was sort of the effort or performance that this derby needed. And, oh, by the way, we're going to wheel back with arguably the second favorite right now, Sierra Leone this weekend, Dornock, who to me is perplexing. And then I think a sneaky horse like Deterministic with a big wood performance all of a sudden hits the top three picture. So, we'll see how these all shake out. But that Fierceness, he got the ball rolling for us. It was nice to see and needed.
We sort of had that a little bit last year, and I think we got it a week earlier last year with Epicenter two years ago. That was sort of the same picture. It's like, who's going to really step up? And that got the ball rolling. And just a little bit later this year, but it's going to be this weekend with the Bluegrass shaping up to be one heck of a race down at Keeneland to determine a lot of things. You're calling Kentucky Derby 150 off of a layoff. You haven't called a race since late November.
We'll be all right. Yeah. Got some time. We got that Saturday before opening night. And then, Derby week is long. A lot of races. We got 13 or 14 on Derby now. It'll be right. The objective will be to keep the voice in shape and not lose it as opposed to. But no, coming off the layoff is always tricky. But this is the week I start diving into these PPs, watching replays and getting to know these horses and forming some opinions, and it's derby season.
Do you start to work on the pace of the race after this weekend, or will you wait for the Lexington, or do you sort of wait sort of even later to sort of map out what the pace could be like in your call?
Oh no, pace is always, you always think about it. I don't get too married to an idea yet just because you don't know. I mean, what if somebody speed pops on Saturday and wins the Bluegrass by 5 and Sinister Minister like effort, right? And that's all of a sudden the complexion of the actual derby has changed a ton. I will, though, know at least my opinion of where these horses that are already in, where they like to be, where they're likely to be, and start to think about things from that perspective. But as you know, it really, until they draw those numbers, you just don't know, right? Because what happens if Fierceness draws the rail or Fierceness draws 20 and all of a sudden everything has changed, right? So,
Do you work on any sort of things in your mind of, like special calls and, special sayings that you'd work up for?
I mean, I'm thinking obviously it is 150th. So maybe a couple of things here or there that would suit that well. I want to avoid being hokey and punny and corny. But it is a monumental derby. So trying to think of ways to give it its fair attention there. But then, all sorts of mid-race stuff, who knows what could happen in the middle of the race where far turn. I think my focus this year is the final 3.5 furlongs. I went back and listened to last year's call and the year before that. Generally fine with how things are going in the early portion of the race so far. This is my 10th Derby. But now it's time to like really ramp up those last 3 to 4 furlongs. So really more attention focused on far turn moves and stretch developments and getting them to the wire.
It's your 10th Derby already.
I know. Yeah.
It's crazy. We're getting old.
It's almost over, KK.
I know, right? Tick tock. How many more Derbies left in Travistone? You got a few more. You're only 40.
God willing.
Yeah. Big 40 this year.
Yeah.
I know, man. If you like listening to this podcast, we would appreciate, of course, if you would leave us a 5-star review. And as Darren Rogers says, for our 4-star performance, but we had Travistone here on the show, got in the big guns here on Inside the Kentucky Derby to kick off the week here. So 5 stars for a 5-star performance here today. And of course, we couldn't do this without our partners at Woodford Reserve. With 200 flavor notes in every sip, Woodford Reserve is a spectacle for the senses. Travistone will be enjoying responsibly after he calls the Kentucky Derby. I'm certain.
Lots of flavor profiles and stuff that I consume.
What's your favorite flavor of Ricola?
It's got to be the original.
Okay.
And it can't be sugar-free.
Really?
Yeah. Which is unfortunate because obviously, you know.
Do you mess with the honey?
A lot of sugar.
Any honey at all?
No, I do have throat coat tea up in the booth.
Okay.
I'll take that throughout, but Ricola is our godsend. Yeah.
Maybe we need to get our sponsorship team working on a partnership.
Yeah, you do that, KK. We'll give you a piece. We'll give you a free bag.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. We'll be back on Thursday with Inside the Kentucky Derby to preview the Bluegrass, the Wood Memorial, and the Santa Anita Derby. We'll talk on Thursday. Thanks again for listening to Inside the Kentucky Derby.